You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere. This is your WXEO Daily News Roundup for Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 FM and 1230 AM in Wausau.
For WXEO News, I'm Brittany Merlot. It's finally here. It's Election Day in Wisconsin. Savannah Tomei Olson breaks down the statewide races.
The Supreme Court race will likely determine the future of abortion, collective bargaining, and other major issues in the state. The court currently has a liberal majority, but liberal justice Ann Walsh Bradley is retiring. That means the balance of the state's highest court is up to the voters today. Data shows spending in this race may reach $100 million. It's already the most expensive court race in American history. It shows just how important Wisconsin is to the national picture of politics. Analysts say this is also the first big chance to see how a purple state like Wisconsin has reacted to the first couple months of the Trump administration. Elon Musk has spent tens of millions of dollars trying to get conservative judge and former attorney Brad Schimmel elected, while Susan Crawford has also accepted money from billionaires. Meanwhile, the race for state superintendent will have implications for Wisconsin kids. Incumbent Jill Underly is being challenged by Brittany Kinzer. Underly is a former teacher who has spent the last few years at state superintendent, while Kinzer is an education consultant who's mostly worked in charter schools and doesn't have a teaching license in Wisconsin. Liberals have typically backed Underly, while conservatives have mostly supported Kinzer. There's also a question on the ballot today asking whether to amend the Wisconsin Constitution to require certain types of ID to vote. It would basically turn Wisconsin's existing voter ID laws into a constitutional amendment, meaning it would be harder to strike it down or repeal it. It's been proposed and supported by Republicans, and groups like the League of Women Voters and Disability Rights Wisconsin oppose it.
And votes are up for village president in Cronin-Wetter and Weston today. Polls are open until 8 p.m. After a record-setting year for school referendums in Wisconsin, there are several dozen being considered by voters today across the state. About one in five school districts are seeking additional funding. 89 total referendum questions are on ballots, with 62 of those for districts that are seeking more money to pay for operations. A few of those districts say they'd have to consider dissolving in the future without passing a referendum. The remaining questions ask for a one-time fund to address facility and security needs at school district buildings. The wave of school funding ballot measures comes as the state legislature is considering a package of bills that would limit future referendums by school districts. One proposal seeks to eliminate recurring or permanent operational referendums, and another would cap referendums at $50 million before affecting the district's state equalization aid. And a third bill would add estimated property tax impacts on the ballot. Backers of the proposals say they are trying to protect property taxpayers from increasing local tax due to the referendums. And the Wausau School Board is asking voters for a referendum. They say if it's rejected, the district may make drastic cuts. The budget deficit is pretty big, and they need help covering operational and maintenance costs. So they're asking for $8 million per year for 5 years from taxpayers. If this passes, the district can increase their revenue limit through 2030. And Tomahawk just passed one for $3.25 million per year for the same time frame. And all Wisconsin voters will see a referendum on their spring election ballot today, asking to approve a state constitutional amendment to require photo identification in order to vote in elections. This is a Republican-backed ballot measure that seeks to solidify a state law passed 14 years ago, requiring an acceptable form of photo ID in order to vote. Supporters of the measure say it will strengthen election integrity, and critics say mandates for voter identification will make it harder for people to vote. At the beginning of March, Republicans were issued commands from party leadership. Stop having in-person town hall meetings. Derek Tritz tells us the details.
Regarding layoffs and budget cuts to programs like Social Security and Medicaid, programs with high approval rating, according to former Wisconsin State Assemblywoman Katrina Shankland.
Really important to recognize that those programs were built on bipartisan support and have wide, we're talking 75 to 80% support among the American public. So to dismantle them, to rip the rug out from underneath us when it comes to our health care and Social Security is deeply unpopular.
The GOP's controversial decision has been a sore spot for Republicans, and Shankland believes that the party and its constituents are starting to fracture.
a really important part of holding elected office is recognizing that you also hold the public trust. It's about listening to your constituents, and especially those who may disagree with you. That's important. And dissent should always be protected and not feared. So I think what it says about Republicans refusing to hold town halls now is they truly do fear their constituents, and it means that deep down they know their policies are deeply unpopular.
While party leadership has told Republican lawmakers to stop having in-person town hall meetings, there hasn't been an actual rule put in place to prevent them. Some have followed suit, while others have held highly vetted town hall meetings. Constituents are also able to contact their representatives outside of town hall meetings, though the representatives are not required to respond promptly or directly.
A chancellor is crossing the state. Stuart J. Waddles has more.
The pick is in. Dr. Thomas Gibson, chancellor at UW-Stevens Point, has been appointed as the next chancellor of UW-Milwaukee. He'll become the institution's 10th leader. The Universities of Wisconsin Board of Regents unanimously approved his selection, with Gibson set to take on the role starting July 1st. The Regents praised Gibson's leadership qualities, noting his ability to foster student success and build strong community partnerships.
And rivers rose. And you should know that over half of all flood-related drownings happen when a vehicle is driven into floodwaters. The next highest death is when people walk into or near flooded areas. It's so easy to underestimate the force and power of water, so stay away. Turn around, don't drown. Because you never really know how deep it is and if the road is washed out from underneath it. Because this is also a time when culverts like to give out. And keep in mind that the Wisconsin River is still in a flood warning, as well as the Big Rib River, and area streams are still up. I'm Brittany Merlot for WXCO.
The Brewers get pounded by the Royals. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, another lopsided loss for the Brewers, losing 11-1 to Kansas City. They fell behind 4-0 after just two innings and gave up six more in the seventh. Pitcher Aaron Civale out now with a pulled hamstring. They had to call up right-hander Grant Anderson from Nashville. Manager Pat Murphy.
Pitching staff is decimated. I mean, what can I tell you guys? I mean, a lot of our top pitchers aren't here. I said 8 out of the 13. And we've been a man down. Anderson got in at 3 in the morning and had to pitch today more than he's pitched, just to suck it up for the team because we didn't have that many arms available.
NBA, the Bucks host the Phoenix Suns tonight at Fiserv Forum. At the NFL meetings in Florida, Brian Gutekunst asked if Jair Alexander could be back with the Pack.
Jair, I think we're still working through that. Obviously a very, very good player for us, and we have some time here to kind of figure that out.
That's Packers GM Brian Gutekunst. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. It's been 30 years since the original Heat hit movie screens. Fans of Michael Mann's heist film starring Robert De Niro and Al Pacino might be happy to know there is a sequel on the way. Rumors have Adam Driver and Austin Butler set to star in the new film, although nothing has been officially greenlit. According to Rolling Stone, Heat, which was released in 1995, was the 28th best film in the 90s, and it was the first time Al Pacino and Robert De Niro ever appeared on screen together. The actors were both in The Godfather 2, but never had a seen together on camera. According to Pubity.com, that's right, Heat 2 will be a sequel and a prequel all in one. Michael Mann has confirmed he has submitted a draft of the script to Warner Brothers. The plot sounds a bit convoluted, but interesting. There is no date yet for production to start, and sources say the film should hit theaters in late 2026. A new Hollywood power couple might be on the horizon if rumors are true. Glenn Powell and Sydney Sweeney have been seen together recently, just days after the actress broke up with her longtime boyfriend. The two stars of Anyone But You have put to bed rumors of any involvement previously. It's about time these two talented young actors started getting some publicity. Country singer Morgan Wallen made a controversial exit after being the musical guest on Saturday Night Live last weekend. Instead of mingling and being social, as is the custom, Morgan ditched the cast and posted a picture on social media of his plane and a caption that read, "Get me back to God's country." Wallen lives in Tennessee, a state recently voted one of the worst to live in a CNBC quality of life survey from 2024. Seems like God deserves better. So does Saturday Night Live. The weekend box office numbers are in, and they were good, but not great. Action was king as the new Jason Statham film, A Working Man, landed in first place with a haul of $15 million at the gate. The action film overcame mediocre reviews, but audiences responded to the tune of 90% favorability. Statham plays a construction worker who has to rescue his boss's daughter from human traffickers. Been there, folks. It's no easy task. Coming in second place last week was Disney's Snow White, which brought in about $1 million less at the box office, bringing its two-week total to about $66 million. Faith-based drama The Chosen Part 1 came in third place with a take of $11.5 million. There are no critics' reviews, but as with many faith-based films, audiences are raving about it. Part 2 opens next week. Rounding out the top five were the horror film The Woman in the Yard and the comedy Death of a Unicorn. Both films made their debut over the weekend. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mostly cloudy today, becoming a little breezy by later this afternoon. Our high right around 38. Tonight, snow likely. We could get 2 to 3, locally up to 4 inches of accumulation by the time it winds down late tonight. 28 the low tomorrow. The snow will change to all rain with a high of 43. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 26.
That's your WXCO Daily News Roundup from Civic Media. Subscribe to this podcast on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you find your podcasts. Find more news at BullFallsRadio.com. The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.